Oh, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, right? He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me next to still waters. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overfloweth. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Come on, forever. New guy's like, that guy's a freak. Oh my. That's all right, man. Most everybody feels that way the first time they meet me. The Lord is my shepherd. We ready to pray? I am ready to pray. Oh. I want to sing tonight. I don't know why. It'd be awesome if I could sing. But, you know, the Lord can't give gifts to all men. God, we ask for your favor tonight. God, we ask you to bless your word. Lord, I pray that tonight we would have an awesome time in your presence. God, that you would reveal your word to us. God, that you would open our eyes. You'd lift the veil from our faces, God. You'd peel the scales from our eyes that hold us back from seeing who you are clearly in our lives. Bless your name, God. I bless your name. You are awesome. You are worthy, God. And I love you today. I love you, Lord Jesus. Come on, with your lips, just tell him you love him. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, come on, everybody, come on. Do you love him? Jesus, I love you today. Jesus, change my life today. God, renew my heart. Restore my soul. Lead me, God. In Jesus' name. That was like an amen. Praise God. God is so awesome. He is so awesome. How many of you guys ever hear somebody say that? The cord is sticking out.
Pardon me. You were looking.
How many guys ever hear somebody say that and you just think, what? He's awesome? Who is this God you're talking about? That is not how I see God. This is awesome. You say, oh, I had such a great time with the Lord. He was so awesome. Right? You know, for the longest time, I have to be straight with you, I didn't get it. I think that who I saw God to be, it was just askew. It was tainted by something. It was jacked up, if you will. You know, having a correct perspective or perception or understanding of who God is so crucial when we go to spend time with Him. When you hear people say, you need to spend time with the Lord, spend time with Jesus, He'll change you. He'll renew you. He'll bless your life. You're like, what are you talking about? See, if you see God in a wrong way, if you have a wrong view of the Master, creaking. If you have a wrong view of the Master, it's awesome. Somehow I'm going to work that in. If you have a wrong view, a wrong perception of Him, it will radically affect the way you enter His presence, the way you read His Word, the way you spend time with Him. Psalms 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Say my. I want you to think about this. Personalize it. Think about my. I want you to think about something that you really believe it belongs to you. Your underwear. Your shoes. That shiny little bicycle. Your Huffy Thunder 50 that you couldn't get rid of. Okay? You got it hanging on your wall because you just can't separate because it's yours. Right? Now I want you to think about God being yours. I'm going to move this. It's so annoying. See him? It's awesome. You didn't know I had that kind of power in my hand. What the heck? I'm okay. I know, whatever. I need the handheld mic. This is not going to work. I'm not going to make it. I'm ADD and out tonight. So awesome. All right. Have we had enough fun yet? Sweet. I love being in charge. I just do anything I want. And you have to watch. It's awesome. When I was a kid, I used to have to do all this stuff in front of the mirror, and now I have an audience. You think I'm kidding. I lived in Nikiski. I didn't have friends, and I had lots of mirrors. He's my shepherd. Say, my shepherd. Mine. Mine. See, you can be greedy about this. Because He's yours. You know, sometimes we, and I had a mix of all, of different ones of these. We see our God as this gentle, kindly grandfather who, whatever you ask, He just, you know, He just seems to always have a piece of candy, you know? Got something. Just this gentle grandfather. We see Him as like this really stern judge. It's just always the law. It's always authority, right? Or sometimes we'll see Him as like this heavenly Santa. He's just the guy that like gives me stuff, you know? Ho, 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 and all that stuff. I'm serious. But then we really struggle when we see Him as the absent father or the abusive father. The one who just mistreats and abuses His power and authority because. You know, if you think about it, most all pagan religions and mysticism and all this kind of people, all their gods have these massive dysfunctions because the fathers and the authority figures, and of course the enemy has twisted all this, but that's the model they see. And so we actually begin to shape God in our own minds according to what we've experienced and seen in authority figures that have lived in our life and made an example for us in our life. And you know what happens? Is it's just like you put on a lens, like you put on a color glasses, you know, that are shaded. You guys ever wear those yellow sunglasses? Because, you know, they're a little extra Bono in them, you know, they're a little extra. Bono? Yeah, why does he wear yellow ones all the time? What's wrong with that guy? You want to see life. We put on these things and we see life through a different color lens. You have an experience and with some kind of authority, your father, whoever it was, and all of a sudden you start to see all authority
with this same color lens. You know, you go out and it's clear and blue sky, and you put on the yellow thing, like, damn, everything yellow. They've been dogged out of here peeing everywhere. All over the snow, right? You're wearing your yellow glasses. Take them off. These things with authority, they taint the way we see life. We got to know that. We got to be ready and have the understanding that something has probably happened in our lives that has shaped the way we see and view our God. But here's the thing. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. See, we think of God as an uncaring or unforgiving or uninvolved God. We actually are making for ourselves a new God, our own God. But we have to believe that He is. That He is. We got to stir up our faith and realize that, hey, there could be some things in my life that have happened to me where I put this lens on and it's changed the way I see God, and that when I try to approach Him, I'm actually not approaching the true nature of God. I'm not actually approaching Him, understanding who He really is when I approach Him. And that affects the way you approach God. If He's this big, scary ruler that just lays the hammer, then you're going to be a little nervous when you try to go and talk to Him and say, hey, boy, this is going on in my life, right? You're not going to want to have this intimate, open, transparent relationship because you just feel like you might get smashed. See, if that's happened to you, then all of a sudden you're going to have that. But the Bible says that we can enter into His throne room with boldness. No matter how much sin we've had in our life, that God's grace is sufficient to cover it all. Let's look in Exodus just really quick. Actually, we can go to Genesis, and I just want to kind of uncover a few things before we really get rolling tonight. Is if we look in Genesis chapter 3, when the enemy comes into the picture after God creates man, and they get their commands from the Lord and all that groovy stuff, and all of a sudden in comes this slithery serpent, and in verse 4, he's twisting things that the Lord has said to man and woman, and he says to Eve, he says, you will not surely die. The serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So all this uncovers, and of course man blows it, and probably all of you have heard this story. But in verse 14, after God kind of exposes the whole deal and he starts lowering the boom on the enemy here, he says, so the Lord said to the serpent, which is Satan, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat of the dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity, you can underline that word if you want, enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Enmity is the worst kind of hate. Scale of 1 to 10, enmity is the 10. All right? And you see, right here in the beginning, where the enemy brings his slithering little self into the whole picture, we see where the real fight lies. And what the enemy's strategy is from the beginning is that his strategy is to take and twist our perception of the Father. Oh, come on. You wouldn't really die. You're going to be just like Him. Now, does that? That's not the God we serve. When God says something is a certain way, it is. Period. And the enemy is going to always be constantly trying to bring something into your life so that he can distort your perception of God and deflect some of the hate that was meant for Him. If he can get you and me to hate one another or to hate God or to blame one another or blame God for all the junk that happens, all of a sudden that hate that he was cursed with, you see, it no longer is pointed towards him anymore. And this is the epic battle, right? Until Jesus comes back and he just smashes the whole deal and it all runs its due process, right? You guys with me? Okay. So as we look in Matthew chapter 25, I want you to see this. This is another place where they had a wrong perception of the Father and of the Master, and they really kind of paid the piper for it. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14, Jesus starts teaching this parable of the talents. Again, it'll be like a man going on a journey who calls his servants to entrust his property to them. To one he gives 5 talents of money, to another 2, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey, and the man had received the 5 talents. At once he put his money to work and gained 5 more. Also the one who had 2 gained 2 more. But the man who received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his money, his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned to settle his accounts and received the man who received the 5 talents he brought before him. The master said, he said to the master, "You entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. The master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many. Come and share in your master's happiness." So the man with the 2 does the same thing. And the man with the 1, verse 24, it says, the man who had received 1 talent came to the master and he said, now listen to this, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I was harvested where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money in deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest." I want you to see this. When this guy received something from God, this Jesus is teaching this. It's about the kingdom of God. Okay, that's the context. Now, when we receive something from the Lord, and if we have a wrong perception of the Father when we receive that, when we think he expects certain things from us that he doesn't, we see him with the wrong lens. We have a wrong understanding of who he is. It directly affects the way we carry out our lives, or we carry out the responsibility that he has entrusted to us. You guys with me? So, the Lord is my shepherd. He's not this egocentric God who just has his best interests at heart. He's your shepherd. He's your daddy. He is your father. The Old Testament depicts God as your father over and over and over. And when Jesus came, he refers to God as his father over and over and over. And see, where we can really get tripped up is when we start seeing God as we see our own fathers. Some of us got some good daddies, but I promise you, they're still nowhere near as awesome as God the Father. Some of you are really blessed because I know some of your daddies and they're awesome and they're close. They do good. Close, nowhere near, whatever. God's unbelievable. His love is so far reaching. It never ends. I want to read a few things about what God is, who God is, and what he says about himself. Who is he really? See, as we take off the lens, and the way to take off the lens of the gods that we've created, or the God, little g, that we've created in our own minds, is that we need to see who God says he is in the scripture. Amen? So Exodus 34, verse 6, "And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. So what is God really like? What is he really like? See, God is this. God is always, never, always the same. Never changing. Never shifting. When he sets his love, it's always. He's always gracious, always forgiving, always compassionate, always. He isn't one way to one person and then another way to another. No, he says, I am always trustworthy and faithful and forgiving. I always redeem. I'm always helping and healing and loving and considering others' best interest. See, there's other things about God that the scripture says is that he's jealous. He's actually possessive when he's concerned for us. He's jealous of you and me and possessive of us as his people. He wants us to worship him and not false gods of our own making. See, God wants the singleness of our hearts to be turned to him forever. Never changing. He doesn't want to control us with a bunch of rules and a bunch of junk. He wants us to turn our hearts to him. And the way we do that is when we understand who he is. We begin to see the shape of who he is accurately. And then with that correct lens of who God is, then we can stand in front of him. We can go before him. And we know how to approach him. We know what we can lean on him for. We know what is right and what is wrong about our faith. We stop blaming God for things that he's not responsible for. That's a huge deal. This happens all the time in our Christian walks. Is we just start blaming God for stuff that he's not responsible for. And that damages our relationship. See, when we begin to see God and we erase these things that are false things about who God is, in John 4:23, when it says, yet a time is coming and now has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. So now this is going to start happening in our lives. We start seeing him as the good shepherd, as the good heavenly father, as the lover of our souls. So let's just paint a little picture. What do you think? Of the Lord, the blessed one.
Are you all right?
You guys all got it's really quiet. He's preaching. Matthew 18:12. This is so sweet. Matthew 18:12. What do you think? what do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hill and go to look for the one that has wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about the one than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your father, say my father. Come on, my father. in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. That is awesome. Awesome. Just think about this. Out of the billions of people on the planet and all the believers, right? You start to wander off, right? Andrew, start to wander off. Just that way. He starts to wander off. Shoot. Here we go. Get him. Woo!
Yeah!
Yeah! Right? See how that's how the Lord comes after us. He's not like, you okay? Did I hurt you?
You're a big, strong man.
That is how the Lord comes after us. That is what a good shepherd is all about. See, in the Old Testament, when shepherds would be shepherding their sheep, they'd take their herds out, and you know what they would do? They would lead them all over the place. Can you believe it? Can you believe it, Andrew? And so they'd get their little rod and their staff, and they'd go cruising around. And they'd be, you know what they're looking for? Not just a good place for them to go sit down and have a bite to eat. You know what they're doing? They're trying to take their flock and protect it all the time. They're trying to protect their flock because guess what? You can go sit down. I got to do that while I can, because when I'm like an 80-year-old preacher, I'm not going to be able to do that anymore. No, I'm doing that when I'm 80. Right, Jackie? Come on. I know you're not 80, but I'm just saying, right? We got to live strong. You know what that's all about. Jackie knows how to live strong. You go farther when you do that. They're not going to be able to see that on the podcast. They'll wish they could have to get video podcasting for that. Now, doesn't that show the heart of the Father? They run off. When a shepherd's taking a sheep and he's trying to find him good food, and then all of a sudden he's like, look, I'm trying to protect you. I'm trying to take you to good food and feed you and take care of you and get you safety. And they just run off. Stupid sheep. I mean, wouldn't you think you might have the tendency to think that way, right? And how about when we run off? What do we think of ourselves? We run off and all of a sudden we think, oh, I'm so stupid. Oh, I hate myself. If I just had two good eyes, you know, if my feet weren't so big, I would have never ran off. And then we're so ashamed to come back. You know the story of the prodigal son? The son goes off and he takes his father's inheritance. He just busts it out and he goes and just squanders it all. And he goes and sleeps around. He goes and does everything. Just screws up big time. And he disgraces his father and his family. And then he finally comes to a place where he's like, man, this is horrible. What am I doing? And then he comes back to the Lord and he runs back to his father. His father accepts him with welcome and open arms. He's just like The same Father that goes after that sheep, the same shepherd that goes after that sheep when they wander, no matter what they've done, no matter where that little sheep is gone, right? You go everywhere trying to find it. When he finds it, he rejoices. He doesn't kick it around. You stupid. Right? Take his cane out. Wah! Told you. No, he grabs and he throws it over his shoulder and he runs back and he tells everybody, I found it. Tells all the other sheep, bah. They're all like, bah. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. Right.
All right.
Ezekiel 34, verse 1. I'm going to crank out some scriptures here. It's starting to get late. Ezekiel, too much horsing around. Ezekiel 34, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy against them. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who take care of themselves. Should not the shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds to clothe yourselves with the wool and you slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. When they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wander over all the mountains and over every hill. They were scattered over the whole earth and no one searched for them. This is sweet. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the words of the Lord. As surely as the Sovereign Lord is because my flock lacks a shepherd and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than my flock, therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Sovereign Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and I will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. And I will rescue my flock from their mouths. And it will no longer be food for them. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep and I will rescue them from the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel and in the ravines and in the settlements in the good land. I will tend them in a good pasture and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. And they will lie down in good grazing land and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. You see the contrast? See, sometimes shepherds in our lives, see, shepherds in the Bible represents leaders, parents, right? Any kinds of magistrates or authorities, all right? All of these have been referred to as shepherds in the Bible. And I want you to check this out. You see, when those people have been a bad example of how to tend and care for God's flock, the flock gets scattered. People's hearts get turned away. Our hearts, when that's the only lens we see, when that's the only authority we see, and we think that's what a shepherd's all about or that's what God's all about. God goes, no, check it out. That is not who I am. I am the shepherd who comes. And in John 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. He takes them and he does all of this. He tends them. He cares for them. He leads them to good food. And he protects them. Now see, this is the God you serve. When you start to stray away, he's hard after you. He doesn't want to let you go. He's not a God with a long leash. He's not a God that just lets you go out wherever you want. No, he's a God that says, listen, I will not be mocked. You will reap what you sow. Because I'm so stinking good. You will reap what you sow. You start sinning and blowing it. Guess what? Serious consequences come your way. You start straying out from the flock. He's your good shepherd. You go out there, you're going to get beat up and eaten by wild animals. 1 Peter 5 says that the enemy's like a roaring lion traveling around trying to see whom he can devour. Right? Come on. When we go out, it's actually God's grace and his goodness that we reap what we sow when we're in sin. Because it points us back to the fact that, look, there's a good shepherd who's back there waiting and trying to find you. He's trying to draw you in. He wants to bring you back into his loving arms. Always, never changing, never shifting. See, in Psalms it said he wants to, that the psalmist said that the Lord is my personal shepherd, right? And he says he leads me. He leads me. He makes me lie down. He leads me to good pasture. He leads me beside still waters. It is God's responsibility, and it is of God's nature to be continually leading you to good food. Continually leading you to places of rest. Continually leading you in the exact place that you need to be all the time. You know, we've got to renew our minds, renew our hearts of who God is. We can't allow our experiences with people and other things to keep us from seeing God as the good shepherd and seeing him as the source of life. John 6:35 says that I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will never grow hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. John 7:37 says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. God brings us food, life. He is the food. We spend time with a good shepherd. We spend time with our Father. We make him our shepherd. We have to make him our shepherd. When we make him our shepherd, we allow him to lead us to these good places, into rest. We start to eat good. Like, oh, that's some good food right there. I might as well eat it. Right? You just kind of do your own thing, and you see God as this God who doesn't even care about you and doesn't want to lead you. He just, well, just do your own thing. You know what I mean? You're saved.
Well, then, you know, I did it. Go. See you later next, you know.
We see him like that. It's like all of a sudden we don't want to have this abiding, intimate relationship with the Lord. It's like, no. See, when shepherds would take their sheep and take them out, they get their little music thingies, their lyres and their flutes and stuff, and they... All right? And they'd sing to their sheep. When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. That's amore. Right? And then all of a sudden they sing their sheep. They minister to their sheep. And they love them. They make them all look like, freaking out and ringing their sheep bells and stuff. And all of a sudden they start singing and they just calm down and they start to relax. And shepherd's like, all right. Let's just chill here for a while. And the sheep like kind of settle down and they look down and go, ooh, good food. Right? Then they lay down. The shepherd makes them all lay down, just rest. Then he plays music for them. They all fall asleep. His little family. You know? It's awesome. And he ministers to the sheep. They're not just animals. Like David, when he had his sheep, he didn't just run them around. He ministered to his sheep and he took good care of his father's sheep. God is the good shepherd. He wants to lead you these places. He wants to take you into his rest. And he wants to have you come in and lie down. Just hang out here with me for a while. I've got some good food for you. And he says that when we make the Lord our shepherd and he leads us to these places, he restores our soul. You can try to find restoration in your soul in all kinds of ways. And I've tried to do this. I've tried to think, oh man, I just need to chill out. I just need to relax and turn the TV on. Or like watch a movie or anything else. But you know, I've learned now that when I'm really maxed out and tired, what I need to do is I need to go have my soul restored. I need to go and find some good food with my daddy. And see, you know what I got to do? I'm out there. Oh, I think I'm going to die. I'm really hungry. I need a burrito. Where's my shepherd? I gotta go find him, right? If I'm out there just being lost, I gotta go find my shepherd. I gotta cut out the time or find him. God, where are you in my life? I need you to restore my soul. I need some good food. I don't even know what kind of food I need. I need you to lead me to the food that I need so I can be restored right now. But listen, if you don't see God as the good Heavenly Father, as your good shepherd, the one who is your advocate, he's on your side. He wants what's best for you every moment of every day, every time. No matter how many times you run away, he wants to grab you back and bring you back into his care. And he wants to mend your broken heart and heal your wounds and tend to you. If you don't see him that way, then you're not going to approach him. You're not going to desire to come back to him, but we got to see him that way. And when we do, then we go hard after him and allow him to be our shepherd and lead us anywhere he wants to lead us, everywhere he sees fit. And when we do that, we just begin to drink of that water, that living water. He leads us by that still living water. We become those trees that are planted by the living water. And when our roots tap into that living water, when we take drinks of that living water, it begins to produce life, fruit in season that will not wither. Whatever we do will prosper. Psalms 1, right? It's also a scripture in Jeremiah talks about the same thing. Look, you want to be restored? You got to get with your daddy. You want to find life? You got to see him with the right lens. So I want to ask you today, all joking aside, where is your heart with the Father right now? Have you made him your good shepherd? Is he your shepherd? Do you allow him to lead you? Or do you just tell them where you're going? Say, hey, you know, I'm going to church. I'm going to this church. And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to hang out with just these people. And I'm just going to pretty much do whatever I want. Love you, Jesus. Remember, you're my Savior. Don't forget. You didn't forget, did you? You're my Savior. Or do you allow him just to lead you? Even if it doesn't seem like it's right. Even if you feel like he might be leading you through the valley of shadow of death. Will you still let him lead you? Let's pray. No, it's a different message. It's one of those bipolar messages. You ready? God is good. Amen. I want you to meditate this week about him being your good shepherd. shepherd. And asking yourself, Lord, have I made you my personal shepherd? Do I allow you to lead me by still waters? Do I allow you to lead me to good pastures? Do I go to you to restore my soul? So, Father, in Jesus' name, forgive us for every time that we did not go to you, that we have not made you our shepherd, that we have not seen you in this way. God, forgive us for making you into a God that's just not who you are. God, I pray that you would restore us, transform us, renew our minds, God, change us. Help us to see you for who you are. God, help us to just have a right perception, a right understanding of who you are. Lord, change us. You're good. You are so good. Lead us. Lead us today. Lead us to good food. Restore our souls. God, help us to cut time out. Help us to run to you when we're weary. Help us to turn our hearts to you when we're faint. You are our rock. You are our shelter. You are our strong tower. You are our hiding place. Your love endures forever. Your mercies will never cease. They're new every morning. Every morning. When sin abounds, God, your grace abounds even more. We bless your name. We bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love you. Will you stand with me? Are we okay today? Am I being weird today? You know what? God loves me. I think that guy loves me too, so I think I'll be all right. Look, God is good. Amen. Make the time. All right? Don't be like that prodigal son. Don't be like that sheep that just wanders off and doesn't want to be found. Come on, allow yourself to be found. Desire to know the Good Shepherd. Seek after him. Let's wholly change the way we approach God. Let's be reckless, patient, passionate about the way we serve him. Ephesians 5 says, make the most of every opportunity. Don't be unwise, but be wise. Be wise. Say, Lord, you are my shepherd. I have no wants. You make me, you lead me by still waters. You lead me to good food and you restore my soul. For the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be just teaching out of this passage and kind of going wherever the Lord leads us. And I believe that God wants to restore our intimacy with him. And he wants to increase our prayer lives. He wants to teach us how to pray. Some new ways. Maybe not everything about prayer, but an approach to who he is. And I believe he wants to do it out of this psalm. So I want to encourage you to get your psalm rocking. Get your Psalm 23 out of your Bible. Write it on your hand. Write it on the inside of your eyelids. Write it on the windshield of your car with your Sharpie. The Lord is my shepherd. I saw, the valley of death! Okay, maybe not on the windshield of your car. Come on, get into your words. Word. God's word. This week, get into your word. And I want you to study it, and I want you to pray it. Okay? Don't just read it, wow, that was really good. Pastor told me to read it, I read it. And I want you to internalize it. I want you to make it a part of who you are. And ask God this week, God, in any way that you're not my shepherd, that I haven't allowed you to be, change me. Then just repent. Make it right. Change it. Make it right. Take your life. You be personal with the Lord. You go find him. All week, Amen? Then we'll come back here next week and I'll kick you around some more.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll jump on a few more people. It'd be awesome. Let me pray over you. Let me bless you as you go. Okay, Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray that you would bless your people today, God, that you would move in power over them, that they would see you as the good shepherd, that they would allow you to be their shepherd, God. And you, God, are amazing. And I pray that your amazing presence would just fortify their relationships with you every time that they come before you. God, bless them, prosper them. God, move in power in their lives. Grow them. Empower them to be ministers for you. God, let them walk in tremendous humility. Let them walk in your love and your compassion. God, pour out your spirit on the times that they seek your word and pray and seek your face. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love you. You are blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed.